You're listening to the Heart of Giving podcast with Art Taylor, powered by bbbgive.org. Here we explore the motivations that form the basis of giving and service. We inspire generosity and celebrate the transformative effects that giving and service have on the human spirit and on community. The conversations featured on the podcast also uncover giving strategies that educate and provide tools to help listeners make impactful gifts of both their time and money. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Heart of Giving podcast, powered by bbbgive.org. Give.org is the nation's standards-based charity evaluator, and it's your one-stop source for information on giving and reports on the most asked about charities. I'm Art Taylor. Today, I want to talk about the relief effort in Ukraine. As the war in Ukraine continues to unfold, resulting in more damage and destruction to major cities, a growing number of Ukrainians are leaving to neighboring countries. So far, media and relief charities are estimating that over 3.5 million have sought refuge, with more than half of them fleeing to Poland. That refugee total represents about 8% of the 44 million Ukrainians and is expected to increase in the coming weeks and months as hostilities continue. International relief organizations are facing challenges on many different fronts, but many fall into two basic categories. The first is addressing emergency needs for those near war-torn areas of Ukraine by providing access to shelter, food, and medical care, and then assisting those Ukrainians who now reside across the Ukrainian borders. As noted in the New York Times, a historic exodus from the Ukraine, many of the initial refugees had either relatives or friends in other countries, but that will probably not be the case for most of those leaving the Ukraine in the coming weeks. They will not only need immediately help for food, shelter, and medical care, but will develop longer-term needs such as employment, temporary housing, care for older people, and education for children, among other things. This will place strains on available public resources in other countries. In turn, relief charities may face resource challenges when donations begin to drop and when the war is no longer the top story in the headlines. Over the years, our organization, the BBB Wise Giving Alliance, we've seen three phases of charity relief. The first phase, in many ways, you know, these principles can be applied, but the first phase is the rescue phase, where charities seek to provide immediate assistance to help save lives and address emergency needs. That phase is still occurring inside the Ukraine and for those in war-ravaged areas as well. As reported by ABC News, the UN indicates that over 6.5 million people have been displaced inside Ukraine. The next phase is the relief phase, which seeks to provide shelter, clothing, food, and other essential necessities. As I described earlier, this is already taking place in neighboring countries that are hosting refugees. The third component is the recovery phase that involves rebuilding homes, schools, hospitals, and repairing roads and other essential infrastructure. This phase will take time to complete, and it'll obviously require large sums of money, but this final phase cannot start in circumstances like this. The war has to be over. So for current and future donors, there will be many opportunities to help Ukrainians in need, and we'll obviously continue to monitor the situation to help you make wise giving decisions. Now, I want to also give you some basic tips for giving during this time. So let me start with the fact that charity can get to the impacted areas are the ones that you want to get to. So, you know, there'll be lots of charities out there wanting to provide assistance to organizations, but not everyone will be able to actually get to the area impacted. So you want to make sure you check the charity's website and learn if the charity has a presence already in the Ukraine and a way for that relief to actually get to the people who need help. Another question people ask is, should they send clothing, food, and other items? Well, local drives to collect clothing and food to send overseas may not always be practical, as the logistics and timing to deliver and disperse such items will be challenging. Relief organizations are better equipped to obtain what is needed and to distribute it effectively and avoid duplication of effort. So think about that too. When your instincts, I know, are to reach into the things that you have to try to get them to people who need help, but we have to be real about what we're able to do and how these items can logistically be put into the hands of people. What organizations really need are your resources. They need your cash. If you can find a way to support the right organizations. Does the relief charity meet standards? Do they meet the BBB Wise Giving Alliance charity standards? This is an important point I make because there'll be many charities soliciting you that won't have demonstrated their trustworthiness. And we can vouch that any organization that's been accredited by us is indeed trustworthy, and they're going to give their best efforts to make sure that they use your funds appropriately to solve and to support the people in need. Another question that comes up is whether the charity you're supporting is experienced in providing emergency relief. Experienced disaster relief charities are the best to help. And if an organization is just coming on to the scene to provide assistance, we sort of have to question whether they have the wherewithal to do that. And you'll want to question that too. So you want to look to see what type of experience does an organization have in delivering that kind of aid under really trying circumstances. One of the popular areas for giving nowadays is crowdfunding. And engaging in crowdfunding, it can be safe to do that, but generally, when you give through a crowdfunding platform, you want to make sure you're giving the money to someone you actually know. And that's because many individuals soliciting, it's hard to vet them. It's hard to know if these individuals are, in fact, going to be able to deliver what they promise. And if you don't know them, I think it's probably somewhat risky to do that. Most crowdfunding campaigns, from what I understand, actually go to people who you actually know, not to people who you don't know. We always ask people to consider the claims that charities are making in their appeals. Most people will make a decision about whether to support a charity based on the appeal that they get from the charity. And they can be very misleading. So, for instance, a charity that makes an appeal which says 100% of the money will be spent on relief is not necessarily an accurate claim, because all charities have some administrative and fundraising expenses, and we'll want to make sure that they're covering those. And it's also, I think, sometimes unfair for us as donors to just expect that a charity is going to be able to spend all of its money directly on a program without spending some on those expenses for administration and fundraising, which are essential in actually delivering the aid. Some other tips that I have would involve things like, there will be a variety of relief activities. Keep in mind that relief activities can be involved in a variety of different efforts, such as food distribution, shelter, medical care. And you'll want to see if the charity's website provides a description of their planned efforts. If not, ask for clarification. Don't assume that what they do is simply based on the name of the organization. You got to do a little bit more work to really understand exactly what a charity is going to do with the money that you give them. There's also this whole issue of whether the donation is deductible. Relief charities that are based in the United States are eligible to receive contributions that are deductible as charitable contributions for federal income tax purposes. In general, donations to foreign-based charities, such as those created and established in the Ukraine, are not deductible. And in addition, it's difficult to check out foreign-based organizations. So keep that in mind. However, don't let the charitable deductibility of the donation determine whether you give support. Let what the organization is able to do determine whether you should support that organization. There are potential scams that you got to watch out for. While in our experience, reporting on charities involved in emergency situations, we show that it can be difficult to identify when scams occur. We believe that giving tips that we've presented to you will help you spot some red flags and help you avoid questionable situations. The greatest risk is taken when a contributor seeks no verification at all before a donation is made. Keep in mind that social media can be sometimes misleading as well. Social media platforms help spread the word about assisting people in need in Ukraine and other places, but it can sometimes be difficult to verify the authenticity of the posts that are made on social media. So if you see a post that is also including a link to donate, I would recommend that the donor go directly to the charity's website to make that contribution independently of that request. And also, don't assume that the recommended charities have been vetted. Now, we've also seen that refugee destinations are expanding. The UNHCR, the United Nations Refugee Agency, reports that over 500,000 people have left Ukraine to neighboring countries. As I mentioned earlier, places like Poland, Hungary, Moldova, Romania, Slovakia. And as more refugees are on the way, donors might also want to consider charities engaged in assisting refugees located in these specific countries. So these are just some things that I wanted to point out for those of you interested in supporting the relief efforts in the Ukraine. And I also want to just give you a heads up to check out our website for more tips on giving in general and also to the Ukrainian relief effort. We also have a list of charities that you might want to consider donating to that we've actually vetted. And I'll just give you a quick list of them here, just so that maybe by hearing the names, you'll have a better understanding of where to give some of your donations to organizations that we've actually vetted. One is Action Against Hunger. Another is A Light. Then there's the American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee, the American Red Cross, AmeriCares Foundation, CARE USA, Catholic Relief Services, CHC, I'm sorry, it's Creating Healthier Communities, Direct Relief, Episcopal Relief and Development, Global Communities, Global Giving, the Humane Society International, Heart to Heart International, International Mercy Corps, International Rescue Committee, MAP International, Matthew 25 Ministries, Medical Teams International, Mennonite Central Committee, Mercy Corps, Operation USA, Plan International USA, Salvation Army, Save the Children, SOS Children Villages, United Methodist Committee on Relief, United States Association for UNHCR, World Hope International, and World Vision. And we're updating this list on a regular basis. So again, check out give.org to see if any of these organizations are ones that you might want to support to take care of those who are in need in the Ukraine. Now that I've provided the list, let me also go into some detail on a few of these organizations, five of them in particular, to just see what they're doing on the ground, to get a little more detail about what's happening and hear from them in their own voice. The first group we're going to hear from is Mercy Corps.
Hi, my name is Alan Glasgow. I'm the regional director for Mercy Corps, and I'm handling the Ukraine response. Mercy Corps is a global team of over 5,400 humanitarians working in over 40 countries around the world. We work side by side with people living through poverty, disaster, violent conflict, and the acute impacts of climate change. Beyond delivering aid to meet urgent needs, we partner with local governments, forward-thinking corporations, social entrepreneurs, and people living in fragile communities to develop bold and innovative solutions that make lasting change possible. I've just returned from Ukraine and Poland as part of our coordination effort. We have teams in Romania, in Poland, and in Lviv, in Ukraine, and who have been there really for the last 3 weeks since this began. We worked in Ukraine before, from 2014 to 2017, so we have a good knowledge of the country, and we've been able to reactivate staff and networks and so on. So bad, of course, that we were required to be there, but good that we have some assets on the ground at such an extraordinary time. So our strategy really has been twofold. We're about getting immediate cash grants to Ukrainian civil society, local organizations, small groups, church groups, local community groups that can buy food and non-food items for an emergency response, including baby items, hygiene kits, sanitary items for people, particularly those who are caught in the besieged areas. And that work has been underway for some time, in addition to the work that we're doing in Romania and in Poland with and for the 3 million people that have crossed those borders as they exit Ukraine. And that is again about the meeting of immediate needs, which is very much what we do in a phase one emergency response. Our longer term work is likely to be the mobilization of a large scale cash response. And what that means is that we develop systems and structures to actually get cash to people who are either staying or people who are on the move. Mercy Corps believes very strongly in both the efficiency and the dignity of cash distribution. When we allow people make their own purchase and procurement decisions during a humanitarian emergency, what we find is that they purchase the things they need, they do so with dignity, and it's much, much more cost effective to do so. So we are activating the networks, the partners, the structures we need to do this, and we look forward very much to that being a very large scale program for not just the 3 million that have left Ukraine, but indeed the 40 million that have stayed and continue to be in Ukraine and will require substantial support and assistance for the foreseeable future. Thank you so much for your support to the organization. We're most grateful. We stand by the people of Ukraine during this difficult time.
And let's now hear from AmeriCares.
Hi, my name is Tara Waters, and I am Director of Strategic Partnerships at AmeriCares. AmeriCares is a health-focused relief and development organization that saves lives and improves health for people affected by poverty and disaster around the world. Each year, AmeriCares reaches 85 countries on average with medicines, medical supplies, health programming, and emergency relief. AmeriCares has extensive experience supporting the health needs of displaced people around the world, and AmeriCares has been supporting the health sector in Eastern Europe since 1986, providing over $1 billion in aid, including directly to Ukraine. AmeriCares is a health-focused humanitarian organization, and we are meeting the health needs of children and adults affected by the escalating crisis in Ukraine and surrounding countries. AmeriCares' response is focused on delivering medicines and medical supplies, supporting health services, and providing mental health and psychosocial support to families affected by the violence in Ukraine. AmeriCares has an emergency response team on the ground in Poland, assessing health needs and coordinating the delivery of medicines and medical supplies into Ukraine to support hospitals and ground medics operating there. We hear from our team that there's critical need for IV solution, antibiotics, insulin, wound care products, and trauma kits. AmeriCares is ready to meet these needs and more. AmeriCares is also providing emergency funding to local organizations to support the health needs of children and adults caught in this crisis. The funds will enable the local organizations to provide mental health support services to refugees, to train staff in crisis counseling, and to hire Ukrainian speaking staff that can help connect refugees to resources in the host communities. Additionally, AmeriCares is ready to deploy emergency medical teams to the region to provide primary care services, treatment for wounds and injuries, and mental health support. AmeriCares has deep experience providing mental health support to refugees around the world, and AmeriCares is making mental health support services available in this crisis as well. AmeriCares is focused on meeting the health needs of those affected by the crisis in Ukraine and helping to ensure that the host communities have the resources they need to support displaced families. The impact of AmeriCares' work is improved health. Our ultimate goal is to save lives through the medicines, medical supplies, and resources we provide. We know that the health needs are immense in this crisis. AmeriCares is responding, and we are ready to meet these needs and more.
You may now be interested in hearing about Global Giving.
Hi, my name is Sandrina DeCruz, and I'm the Director of Disaster Response at Global Giving. Global Giving's mission is to transform aid and philanthropy to accelerate community-led change. We are a nonprofit that makes it safe and easy to support important causes around the world. When a crisis happens, Global Giving partners with local vetted organizations that are best placed to support their communities in the aftermath of a crisis by delivering humanitarian assistance, as well as through the longer-term recovery process. Our emergency grants are sent to local vetted organizations within the first 7 to 10 days of a crisis happening. Global Giving also delivers tools, training, and support to help nonprofits, companies, and donors to increase their impact and help make the world a better place. Right now, Global Giving has dozens of vetted long-term partners working in Ukraine and in countries in the region. Their teams are delivering medical support, shelter, clean water, food, hygiene kits, and other essential supplies. Our nonprofit partners are working with women, children, persons with disabilities, older adults, LGBTQ plus communities, and other vulnerable groups. One example I'd like to tell you about is our partner, the Zerello Children's Center. Before the war, they focused their efforts on children with disabilities as well as their families. And now they're still providing specialized care for these children, and they're also increasing their support to provide humanitarian assistance for displaced families. And for the 400 families that used to visit their center on a daily basis, they are now keeping in close contact with them. And whenever it's possible and it's safe to do so, they're delivering support to their homes. Part of what makes Global Giving unique is our focus on local community-led organizations. These local leaders are committed to their communities. They were there long before this crisis started and will be there after the crisis ends. We often hear concerns from our nonprofit partners that the people most affected by a crisis are often overlooked and forgotten. We want to ensure that they know that they are supported. We offer donors a safe, secure, and easy way to have an impact. Part of our job at Global Giving is to listen to the needs of our nonprofit partners and to fundraise to meet those needs. Through flexible and unrestricted funding, our nonprofit partners can focus on their life-saving work and increase the impact of their activities by directing funding to meet the unfolding needs arising in their communities. And these nonprofit groups can also fundraise on the Global Giving platform. Through the Ukraine Crisis Relief Fund, we will provide support for the ongoing emergency relief phase through the long-term recovery process ahead.
And here are some thoughts from MAP International about how they're going about it. Now we're going to hear from Stephen Sterling, President and CEO.
Our mission at MAP International is to provide medicines and health supplies to people in need so they too can experience life to the fullest. We have been shipping free medicine, health supplies, hygiene and wound care products, and even sleeping mats to our partners serving Ukrainians across multiple neighboring countries. We hope to ensure long-term health and dignity of impacted Ukrainians. For us, this is achieved not only by shipping medicine supplies, but also focusing on the long-term needs identified by our partners on the ground.
We talked about the USA for UNHCR, the UN Refugee Agency. And here is Anne-Marie Gray, the Executive Director and CEO.
USA for UNHCR, the UN Refugee Agency's mission, is to protect refugees and empower them with hope and opportunity. In recent weeks, millions of refugees have fled Ukraine. The scale of this crisis is unprecedented in recent history. UNHCR teams have been on the ground responding to the needs of families fleeing Ukraine since the beginning of the crisis. We're providing immediate emergency care, such as shelter, warm clothing and blankets, and food. But UNHCR also responds to the long-term needs of refugees, including providing psychosocial care, reunification of families, and working with governments to ensure children can get back to school, amongst others. As the world watches the heartbreaking events in the Ukraine unfold, I'm still able to find moments of hope because compassionate people are stepping up to provide care for those fleeing. My hope is that this community continues to show generosity and love for the families fleeing Ukraine. And I also hope that they continue to show support in the months ahead as families recover from the trauma endured and as they rebuild their lives in peace.
Now, these are all organizations that are, as you can hear, doing work to support those in the Ukraine who are in need and also in the surrounding countries. Again, stay tuned for further updates on our website, give.org, where you can get information about how to support those who are in need. And we'll be also posting more videos of the organizations and what they're actually doing so you can get a better understanding of how your money will be used. Well, I want to thank you all for listening, and I hope that this information has been helpful. If this is your first time listening, I hope you'll subscribe to our show, and I hope that you can also think about supporting us at the Wise Giving Alliance by going to give.org and making a donation, or you can also support the Heart of Giving podcast on Patreon. Thank you for listening.
You've just listened to the Heart of Giving podcast with Art Taylor. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To listen to our other interviews, visit heartgiving.podbean.com. That's heartgiving.podbean.com. Subscribe to our show on major podcast platforms. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the BBB Wise Giving Alliance or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Podbean's Terms of Service.